نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في قرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المعدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله الغالب والله اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحابه وآله وسلم
Whenever anybody, for example a shopkeeper, when he wants to sell a product, then obviously he tries that this product, as much as possible, how shall I, at a good price, sell it? Any shopkeeper, any businessman, if he wants to sell a product, his effort is that somehow or other, I need to sell this in a good price. So what does he do, the shopkeeper or the businessman? Simply, he decorates that product, prepares that product, makes it shine, polishes it, cleans it, because in this manner the price will increase. If he just leaves it as per normal, there will be no value. For example, if somebody gets a house, he wants to sell that house. So what you'll see is that he'll do painting, he'll improve the doors, put wallpaper where he needs to, and the windows, he'll paint them. Why is he doing all of this? Because if its value is 10,000, for example, then what will happen through his efforts, painting, decorating, wallpaper, then its value will increase to 15,000. So the value increases. The value increases of that house. So what we realize here, what we learn here, is that when an item or a product is improved and is made to look better, then what happens to it? Its value increases. Its value increases. Yeah, it goes up automatically. You'll see this. Let's take a wood, for example. If there's a tree and wood, what value does wood have? So when the tree is cut down and you have wood lying around, is there any value of that wood? It's just lying around, nothing. Maybe somebody will pick it up or burn it, or they'll throw it away and it will just decay, that wood. But that same wood, it's the same wood, when it's picked up and it's cleaned down, brushed down, and then you make furniture out of that wood, then what will be the value of that furniture? How much it will increase? You'll see that. It will increase, won't it? It's just the same wood that was decaying, rotting, but where its value has gone? It's gone, it's multiplied many times over. So maybe somebody wouldn't have bought it for 10 pence, but now you're selling for 100 pounds, 400 pounds. Just like the manufacturer of that furniture has made it and sculptured it, so its value increases. So what we realize again here is that if something is cleaned and prepared, then its value increases. The pious predecessors give a unique example that there was a river, there was a sea, an ocean and a river, and a big piece of wood, like you see in the sea or in the river, it's floating on the surface. And sometimes the waves are taking it up, sometimes down, sometimes it touches here and it touches there, or it's tossed around on the water. And a boat is sailing past, and quite a few passengers are on that boat. And that boat that's passing by smoothly, It's not being tossed up and down like that wood is being tossed around. So the wood was a bit amazed that this boat is made out of wood and I'm also wood and I'm being shoved around up and down, being tossed around. And this boat, rather, it's not just sailing itself, but it's got passengers on it as well. And it's taking people across. So let me ask this. So the wood goes next to the boat, to the wood of the boat. And the wood says, the piece, that what's happening? You're wood and I'm also wood. And you've got to weight, so much weight of people. And you are enjoying your ride. Nobody's pushing you around. You're not struggling. So the boat is said, yes, you are totally correct. You also came from a tree and I also came from a tree. But the difference is just this. That a sculptor, a manufacturer, he improved me. He designed me. And you haven't been touched by anybody. You haven't been improved by anybody. So I was also that wild piece of wood. But when its hand of the manufacturer came onto me, he didn't just make me capable that I can also float on the water and I don't get pushed around. Rather, I've got so much capacity that I also take the weight of individuals, humans, and I take them to their destination. So maybe you'll understand what I'm saying here. So my brothers, islah, rectification, purification is a very big subject and reality. How is it a reality? Because the value of that person who goes through that increases. He goes from one level to another level if he's improved. So here if we see, today we live in this generation, this era, and there was an older generation in which the companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to live, the Sahaba. What's the difference between then and now? Today we are living in a generation, they were living in a generation. But who were those people? They were people from the desert, wilderness, nomads. Yes? And they had high degree of desires and lust and shahawat. Everyone had a unique story. And they would take a girl alive and bury her. What was the, and the girl screaming, what's my fault? Why are you burying me? Imagine the scene at that time, before they came to the deen. They had no mercy. They're not listening to the daughters. They said, no, we can't leave you alive. You're a female. Bury her alive, they said. Bury her alive. Yes. And they, when they wanted to worship, they'd do tawaf naked all night long. Women would dance, they would have parties and alcohol and recite poems. These were those people beforehand. Beforehand. This was it, the case, wasn't it? Prior to the deen, subhanAllah. When Musli Azam came, such Allah Ta'ala sent an expert who reformed those same dry pieces of wood. When his hand touched them, then Umar radiallahu anhu became. Talha became. Siddiq became. Before that, they were not what they became after. So whose achievement was it? Whose achievement was it? It was the teacher, the reformer, who came and gave them tarbiyah. And when they did islah, what was their value? The same Umar. As Umar radiallahu anhu, his situation was such, he said himself, may Allah be pleased with him, that when I used to get beats from my father, my father used to hit me with sticks, because I didn't even know how to travel on a camel, how to ride a camel. I had no akal, how to ride a camel. And I didn't have no understanding. My father used to hit me, that you're so bone idle, you're not capable. He said, when my salah took place, when the Prophet ﷺ reformed me, the same Umar, look at his maqam, Rasulullah ﷺ said that, if after me there was to be a prophet, it would be Umar radiallahu anhu. Imagine his maqam, his level, how it increased. Look at his value, amazing value. Look at his status. The same Hazrat Umar, that subhanAllah, his order, the rivers used to comply with. And when there was an earthquake, he just struck his staff on the ground and the zalzala, the earthquake ceased. Yes, can anyone stop an earthquake today? Can anyone? Yes, he just sent a letter to the river Nile. Put the letter into the river, he said. The same Umar that he didn't know how to ride a camel. And the whole of the world was replying to him, responding to him when he got the status. So what happened? He had islah. He had somebody who reformed him, improved him. Yes, that he became such a great human being. And look how great his value was, the Sahaba. Because Allah Ta'ala sent the Sahaba to the Uruj, to the high levels. So what we learn from these examples is that for a human being, what a human being do, his value, his capacity, his status is due to his islah. How he's been you can say taught and educated. If you don't have it, look at that generation today. In that generation era where there's no Islah, where there's no good teaching, where there's no reformation and purification, then the difference is like the night and the day between the good and the bad. That's the difference. That a person who is given Islah, people who are reformed and improved, they're like the stars and the moon in the sky. They have good akhlaq, their words, their manners, their conduct, their high level. Ma'ashara, the society is destroyed at that time. A society goes downhill at that time when Islah and purification stops, when tarbiyah stops. Yes, so that same high level human being, he goes down so low that he gets worse than the animals when he's not improved and purified. How? Like I gave you the example of the generation. My brothers, this era that we're passing through now, yeah, because we're just having a discussion today. I'm not giving a speech here. It's not such a point. It's just a discussion. We're all sat in the same boat. We're on the same journey. We all have issues. We're all distressed. So this era we're passing through now, this generation, this day and age, what day and age are we living in now? What negative is there not in this day and age? Yes, that there used to be one negative in the whole Ummah before, but now all of the bad things of all the previous nations are all collected today. There's lying, fraud, and weighing wrong and doing wrong. In other words, the punishments that were given to the previous nations, they're all present today in this day and age. All the wrongs. What's the reason for this? Straightforward. The reason for it is this. That Islah, rectification, all the doors for rectification have been slammed shut. Islah has finished. Rectification. Yes, that the where the Khankas were, when the Wali Walas was present in the world, when Islah took place, rectification took place, reformation took place, then those generations, those eras, those times were really high level progression in akhlaq and good conduct and manners. But when it's just by name now, today, just traditions, and the practice is finished, then this era is spoilt now. This generation is spoiled. And how much is Allah happy with us now? Let's question ourselves. How much is Allah pleased with us now? That without Islah, a human being, without rectification, without improvement, he cannot be a human being. He's like an animal. Fitrat and natural. Maybe he looks like a human being physically, but all his adat, his habits are like wolves and like dogs. He takes somebody's money, don't care. If he beats somebody or lies, he doesn't care. Shahawat and lust. His day and night, they pass in hubbe dunya, love of the dunya. Dunya, world, material, dunya, pesa, money, nothing else does he care about. Overwhelmed by dunya. That thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with most. There's a hadith in Tirmidhi. It's a unique subject of this hadith. Unique subject and meaning. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he loves a servant of his, a person, whoever Allah ta'ala loves, like we've heard this hadith before, it's a beautiful hadith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he loves a human being, what's the sign of a person who Allah loves? What is it? What's the sign of a person that Allah ta'ala loves? The person who Allah loves, the creator, when he loves somebody, then Allah puts that person into poverty, into distress, into hardship, whoever Allah likes. Why? Because for this reason, that this najis dunya, this impure world, which is a waste of time, a waste of space, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't want his beloved servant to get lost in the world. Allah doesn't want him to get lost in the dirt of the world. So Allah says, I don't want the person who I love, who I give muhabbat to, that I put him into a dirty environment that will destroy him and eliminate him. And Allah Ta'ala saves a person from that. In such a way, Allah saves him, just like a person who's sick and he's not meant to touch the moist water. We think it's bad. That's, for example, this dunya is so impure in this manner. So, ma'ashara, the society when it's spoiled, and the biggest desire that has arisen today is the love of the dunya overwhelms a person. That we're not disappointed at any time in our lives except for when there's dunya. We have got no fikr of the akhirah thereafter, but we're really concerned about this dunya, this world. And this era, generation, is this indeed. And it's apparent, it's visible, decisions will be made. We are going to pass away, and we are going to the hereafter. So the biggest thing today is that if we want to be saved, And if we want to be saved with regards to the hereafter, from the punishment of the grave and hell, then the biggest factor we need to bring into our lives right now, which should be today in this day and age, is we need rectification, islah of ourselves. If you can correct a piece of wood and manufacture it, its value increases. Then what if a human being is rectified and improved? Imagine how his value increases. The wood, its value increases. Then what about us? The insan, the human being, if he's improved, then Allah Ta'ala purchases that human being. What a big difference. Big difference. That's it. So our minds, our brains, they're lost in the dunya. So in reality, we need to understand what is the reality of life. That how can I become valuable? He thinks, let me make money, people will respect me. I'll make a big house, people give salam to me. If I have a big, long car, people stand in front of me and salute me. Everything within him, he's always got one desire. I want people to say salam to me, think they're good, I'm good, and I'm a big shot, and they run after me. Whether it's deen, religion, or dunya, we want progression and promotion of our desires, of our nafs. Yes, even if he's learning religious knowledge, he's got a desire. I want people to acclaim me, recognize me, give me salam in the masjid. I've got knowledge and I've got status. People, I want them to stand for me. This is dunya. Dunya isn't just money, my friends. Dunya doesn't just mean money and wealth. Dunya equals when a person thinks and he wants that others consider him higher in status than them. This is dunya. If I'm there, I want people to stand for me. If I'm there, I want them to respect me, open the doors for me, because I'm better. Because I've got status, recognition. This is dunya. World. So until a human being doesn't do his islah, improvement, rectification, in this day and age we have needs for nothing at all. Why? The human being becomes from one thing only. A human being becomes a human being from one thing only. Look, Allah Ta'ala has clearly told us in the Quran that I don't look at high levels, that if he's from a high level family or lineage or from big tribe, Allah doesn't look at these things. Allah says he's not of a high level or status to me. Allah says that's not my standard. Allah says I consider that human being in high level and I draw him near to me who has taqwa more than others. Doesn't matter which color, language, background, creed he's from, doesn't matter what tribe he's from. Allah says that's the case. So Allah says, in my eyes, the person with taqwa is close to me. So if that person is closer to Allah, then what path of life are we running down and we are seeking acclaim and fame and status? Fine. We want respect. We want people to honor us. We want people to think we're good and to understand us. But this is temporary. Allah Ta'ala is giving permanent. Allah says, when you come to me, the angel will stand for you and salute you. The angels. Allah says, you cannot imagine that protocol and that respect and honor you'll get in the hereafter. Why are you running after the dunya and the world seeking fame so that people understand, accept you? Do you understand the point I'm making? Do you understand? So this disease within us, at that time, it goes into a person when the human being, he doesn't do his islah, when he doesn't rectify himself, improve himself, when he doesn't go towards the path, the subject of islah. So how do we do islah? How do we purify and improve ourselves? Rectify ourselves? Look. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us the kitab, the Qur'an-i-Hakim. Yes? In the Qur'an-i-Hakim, there's no such thing that's not present to guide us. So it's such a great kitab. Then do you think that Allah Ta'ala didn't tell us that prescribe the method of islah, improvement, self-improvement in the Quran? Did Allah not explain to us from the Quran how to improve and rectify ourselves? So why don't we understand? Why don't we have the knowledge? Why don't we know? Because we read the Quran, but we don't know the Quran. We know tajweed, how to recite the Quran. We know how to do qiraat, recitation of the Quran. We can print the Quran in beautiful colors, but the reality of the Quran, the objective of the Quran, we don't know it. We're not aware of it. Yes, that where we need to learn that do islah like this, improve yourself like this, the Quran will give us every method and prescription. We don't go towards that knowledge for this reason, because we haven't delved into the Quran. We haven't gone into the Quran. We don't even know what is the Quran. That's all we know about the Quran is read it to do a khatam, recite Surah Yasin for this purpose, read 10 juz, read tafsir, and then after that, reading the Quran, then we look for tafsirs, commentaries, this sheikh's tafsir, this scholar's tafsir, read it. That's fine. That's fine. There are big tafsirs people have got on their shelves. Nobody can reject that or shun that. But can every person study and read tafsir? If you look here on this point, then doesn't Allah Ta'ala know so many people in the world who don't even know how to read the Quran? Take the percentage out of people who are illiterate from deserts or villages. Are they all alims? Can they all understand the points of tafsir of Quran? Everyone in the world? The believers? Tell me. Tafsir, we need tafsir to understand the Quran. Yes, so we can't reject that. We need tafsir to understand the Quran. We need the commentary. Listen carefully to what I'm saying so you understand the point. That no one can reject tafsir or the importance of tafsir. Commentary. So when we say this tafsir, this sheikh, that scholar, and we look for tafsir and proofs, look at this tafsir, and this commentary and this explanation. That why don't you look for that tafsir, that commentary, which is the most easiest tafsir? Say subhanAllah. I'm just giving you a very important statement. Understand it. So it should be a high, loud subhanAllah. Listen carefully to what I'm saying when I speak. You and me and you, I'm speaking to myself. Remember this always when I say this to you. I'm clearly saying this. I speak for myself here. All, mashallah, you are thousands and millions of times better than me. So I'm not speaking to you. That all the negatives and the bad things, I'm reminding myself. But that there's a way of speaking when I say you or up. I don't mean you people. In reality, that the person who's speaking is speaking to himself. In other words, I'm speaking to myself. Let me explain this to you. I'm addressing myself. I'm sat here for my own improvement. And if you need improvement, then I need more improvement than you. So this is Allah's karam. There are some points Allah Ta'ala allows to come into my mind and I can share them with you. Say subhanAllah. So listen now. So this tafsir you're reading, you're looking for that tafsir, you don't understand, someone's illiterate, somebody's literate, somebody from the village area, what does he know about tafsir? He doesn't even know how to read the Quran. So has Allah Ta'ala, and Islah will only come from the Quran, say subhanAllah. Islah, there's no door that you go to a special place. There's no scientist who will teach you Islah, rectification. No scientist. No literary person or learned person from the dunya can teach Islam. Hasn't done until now, nor will he be able to in the future. Because for him is only one thing. Quran-e-Hakim is the only guide that can teach us Islam. Allah's Kitab. So, but have we used the Quran? The Quran came really to do our Islah, to rectify us. That's why I said the doors for Islah have been closed today. We don't understand the Quran. We don't understand the Quran for one purpose. We don't know any other reason for having the Quran. That's what I'm saying. People say, read tajweed, improve your recitation. These are all different colors and forms and the effects of the Quran. They should be there, but the Quran wasn't just for that. The Quran doesn't cease there. Doesn't stop there. The Quran goes beyond that. The benefit of the Quran goes beyond that. The objective of the Quran is very much beyond that. Tajweed and learning the knowledge of the meaning of the Quran. It goes way beyond that, the benefit of the Quran. And we have to get Islah from the Quran. So if you look for tafsir, I want to read this tafsir, this scholar. Many people call me, Hazrat, tell me which tafsir shall I study? Which translation shall I study? And I say to him, what shall I say to you? What shall I say to you? Tafsir? What tafsir will you learn? What will you learn after that when you read the tafsir? You won't even understand until today. I haven't understood the tafsir of the Quran. So what will you understand? So for this purpose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a beautiful method. Because islah, rectification, improvement of us as human beings will come from the Quran. So we need such a tafsir that every human being, believer can understand. Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Even a villager who is illiterate, sat in the desert, he also needs akhirah. He wants the hereafter. He needs to learn from the Quran and from tafsir. So whose tafsir should he read? The illiterate person. Why are the arguments today, oh, he's this and he's from that sect? And obviously in village areas and places where people are not literate, they have speeches and people, the scholars, they earn through that. They make people quarrel and fight. And you're this and you're that. You can't pray behind him. You can't pray behind him. That's where everyone's earning today in the world. This is not tafsir. This is not these tafsirs that we have today, that's what the end result is, argumentation. But tafsir, Allah Ta'ala definitely has given tafsir of the Quran. There will be explanation of the Quran. Most definitely there'll be tafsir, there'll be no argument in it, there'll be no fighting in it, no quarrel, no sects, no groups. Just one thing will emanate. Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be placed on the highest level. That is the tafsir we need. And I've read that tafsir. I've read that tafsir. Have you got that tafsir? I bought it. I've got it. Yes, very fantastic tafsir it is. I'm surprised and shocked that tafsir, people don't study it, they don't read it. The explanation of the Quran. You will have heard of names, this tafsir of this sheikh, of this scholar, of this mufassir. I also read a tafsir. And shall I tell you who that writer is of that tafsir? Say subhanallah. So that you can also study it. I'll tell you the writer, the author of this tafsir. Will you then study that tafsir? You won't study that tafsir? And every man can study that tafsir. Every man can. Will you study it? Will you read it? Say it loudly. Yes. Because without that, you cannot improve yourself. You need tafsir, you need the Quran to rectify yourself, to do your islah. The writer, the author of this tafsir that I am telling you, do you know who that is? Shall I tell you his name? Allah Jalla Jalalahu is the author. Subhanallah. Yes, he's the one who sent the kitab. And Allah said, I will write the tafsir myself. Who wrote the tafsir of the Quran? Who's the author? Allah Jalla Jalalahu himself is the author of the tafsir. Allah Ta'ala, what did he keep as the name of his tafsir? What's the tafsir? Sirate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Laqad kana lakum rasulullahi fi uswatun husana. This is the name of that tafsir. The explanation. Do you not understand what I'm saying? Yes. And who wrote it? Allah's Mahbub's Mahbub's. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, she wrote that. She said, I will tell you the meaning. There's no greater tafsir. He is the walking, talking Quran. He's the greatest tafsir. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand my point now? That Allah Ta'ala wrote the tafsir. And where did Allah write the tafsir? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. This is the tafsir. Walking, talking man. I sent the Prophet Muhammad. He is the tafsir of the Quran. He is the commentary, explanation, meaning, translation of Quran. You don't need to move your tongue to study this tafsir. You don't need to look for words. What do you need to do? You just need to imitate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you'll be studying the tafsir. Just imitate him. Do you understand my point or you don't understand my point? All you need to do to study this tafsir, Allah said, that I wrote, to study this tafsir, you don't need to read it. You just need to imitate the Prophet Muhammad. And the most illiterate and jahil of human beings, he can study this tafsir. Say subhanallah. So you don't need no words to read. You don't need to study. Look at it. Just you say, oh, the Prophet ﷺ did this. End of story. And all the information he gets, that student, from the source of the Prophet ﷺ's lifestyle, if he practices it, then straight to paradise that person will go. Straight to paradise. That tafsir has complete islah for the human being. The tafsir of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Whole islah, rectification, improvement of mankind. Such a beloved tafsir. Have you seen this tafsir? The person who wrote it, author is Allah. And the name of the tafsir is Sirate Rasulullah, the life of the Prophet Muhammad. And we've been given this, go and study it. Has anyone got any comparison with this tafsir? Can anyone dare after that to say, I've got a tafsir better than this? No way. And a person will be going straight to Jannah if he practices this tafsir. Straight to Jannah. That whoever imitates the Prophet Muhammad, he's reading the Quran in the best of manners. Best way, in such an excellent way is he studying the Quran. On every imitation of the Prophet Muhammad, you get the reward of 100 shaheed. 100 martyrs. Allah says, my tafsir is so great, don't practicing it. Every word you practice of that tafsir, you'll get 100 shaheed thawab. And we've left that today, and we start reading our own tafsirs. This scholar, this tafsir, that tafsir. And we fight and quarrel and debate. Oh, he's Hazir, he's not Hazir, he's this and he's that. This is that title, he's them, and he's deviated. So what's the point of these tafsirs? Allah says, what islah of yours will you achieve through those tafsirs? Allah says, what I've told you in the Quran, clearly, then you should embrace that tafsir. There'll be no fighting, no quarrels. And all Muslims after studying that tafsir will become lovers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All faces will have beards. MashaAllah, all will have imamas on their heads. And the libas, the attire of the Prophet, they will wear that. Just like he ate, they will eat. Whatever you study, whatever you will, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had held beloved, you will start to hold beloved. Because he's reading the Quran, the student. The lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this tafsir, Allah Ta'ala announces, that this is where you'll get islah. This is where you'll get improvement as human beings. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum, Allah says. Now this is tafsir that's telling us direct, the Quran. That if you want to improve yourself, rectify yourself. Do you understand the point I'm making? You understand the point I'm making? So this tafsir is telling us now. That if you want to improve yourself, rectify yourself, then what a great statement Allah has made here. Beautiful statement. Allah says, alaykum anfusakum. Allah says, improve yourself, rectify yourself, worry about yourself. Reflect upon yourself. Always, every moment you should be reflecting, analyzing yourself. Analyzing yourself. I need to improve myself. Do tafakkur on your own self. Think about your life, your practice, your function. What do? Today, nowadays, what's our drama? That this is the day and age we're living in, isn't it? This era, evening time, you come home from work, you reach home, family sitting there, mashallah. And whether it's here, everywhere, other countries, all around the world, we see this. Yeah, we sit down, okay, whatever's there, and then we sit there, have some tea, the whole family sitting there, food, and nothing else to do. Then what happens now? Then straight away start taking defects out of people. No one will be saved. Home from work, food, relax. Then the evening time, within the family discussions, after being free from all the day's work, etc. They say, he's like this, she's like this, no scholar, no Sufi. Everyone's being ground down. Relatives, friends, oh, he's like this, she's like this, oh, this is wrong with that person, and he does this, and he's not this. Everyone will look, we're masters of defect finding in people. Masters. What does the Quran say on the other hand? Alaykum anfusakum. That don't worry about other people, third parties. Look at your own defects. You won't even know about your own defects. We don't even know that when we start picking points in the world, he does this, she does this, he did this, and he said this and that. Whatever you are in your field, you look for people and you start to gossip about them and talk evil about them. And then that's how we pass the time. And if there's no family there with you, then you're going to get a few friends together. And there's no other topic but apart from fault finding. So we're worried about other people and taking defects out of people. Allah Ta'ala says, worry about yourself for a few moments. Apart from you looking for faults in other people, she's like this, he lies, he eats haram, and she doesn't do this, she doesn't do parda, she does this, etc. Thousands of things we say about people. Then Allah Ta'ala says, Alaykum anfusakum, O people of iman, belief. What do you do for yourself? Why are you worried and concerned about others? Do we have so much time in our lives that we can spend our time worrying about others and talking about others and taking defects out of other people? Then Allah Ta'ala says, what will happen to you? What difference does it make whatever's happening around you? Whatever anybody's doing, Allah Ta'ala asks. What difference does it make to you? That how can you change that person? What will you do about that person? Allah Ta'ala then further says that you can't give any loss to that person. Yes, that if they are off track or deviated or diverted, if you see that there's something wrong going on, and then you could explain to that person in a nice way, in an orderly way. That's all you can do. Yes. That's present, that you should explain to somebody, tell them, give tabligh, that this is wrong, etc. But you shouldn't sit down and do fault finding in people and pick points in those people. Even after he's not improved, then it's nothing to do with you. It's not your problem. It's not your concern. It's nothing to do with you. What loss will it give to you if that person is off track, deviated? That person's deviation, what loss will it give to you? How much loss or sadness or distress have you earned due to that person? Then Allah Ta'ala further says, it is better, isn't it, that you do hidayah and you think about your guidance and your improvement. Think about yourself. Think about yourself, Allah Ta'ala says. And then Allah says, marji'ukum jami'ah, Allah says, all of you will come and return to me. I will decide myself. So why are you concerned about the other person? Allah says, I know if he's right or wrong. I know this. Subhanallah. Look how Allah Ta'ala does islah in this verse. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so simple formula Allah's Quran is telling us, this tafsir that I'm explaining to you, that the tafsir that I've studied, this is that tafsir. Sirate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad. Why do you look at defects in other people? If you're so concerned, then give nasiha to that person, advise that person. If he does not rectify himself after that, you don't need to worry. Just get lost. You go to one side. Leave that person. Yes, what loss is it given to you? La tadurukum. Allah says that no losses have you incurred due to the person. This is the Quran, isn't it? Allah says it in the Quran. Clear. Allah says, you will all return to me. It's better that you have concern for yourself. So from here, a beautiful point arises that if we want to do our own islah, rectification, then what a beautiful point comes out of this. that instead of wasting time and talking about other people, if you've got concern for the hereafter, I'm talking for those, yes, those who really desire, they want to be saved from the fire of hell. May Allah Ta'ala give us Jannah and paradise, that all the goodness in paradise they want to earn, that then the defects you see in other people, instead of worrying about that, then here's the tariqah, the method of directing them the right way. That in the night when you go, instead of fault finding other people, then just 10-15 minutes spend on yourself. Try this. 40 days if you do this, I'll tell you the formula. 40 days, chillah, do this for 40 days. Sit down, before sleeping, the day is ended, the evening has come, all the day is past, actions finished, sit down, you and me. Remember, as I said, I'm speaking to myself, and all we need to think is that today, during the whole day, what did I do today? Just bring it in front of your own self. And be honest with yourself. That the way we extract defects from other, oh, he's this and that, then start to bring out your own faults and defects. Be honest with yourself. That how much kibr was in you, how much pride was in you, how much takabbur was in you, how much did you do for the hereafter, how much are you immersed and drowned in the love of the dunya that Allah Ta'ala dislikes. That if Allah loved me, then most definitely He would have extracted this from me, taken it out of me. What are the defects that are buried in me, stuck inside me? Just worry about these things, Allah Ta'ala says. Just ponder over these things. Alaykum anfusakum. That be honest with yourself. Analyze yourself. Don't do anything else. Just sit down and think that, yaar, I'm a very dirty, impure human being. I'm in a very bad situation. I should improve myself. And when a human being does this for 5 or 10 minutes, then from Allah's direction, a rahmah, mercy comes to that person. And the doors of thinking that he slams shut, that he spends time on other people and he doesn't look at himself, then those doors, that Allah Ta'ala will slam those doors, the negative ones, and open the positive ones for that individual. The path, slowly he'll see Allah, slowly so much energy will come, he won't think about anybody else after that. Rather, what? That he will praise other people, and the good things, the positives he'll see in other people, and he'll see the negatives in himself and talk bad about himself. This is Sirat-e Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that explains and teaches and educates us. And it tells us to realize our own self. The Quran tafsir teaches us this. This was the akhlaq of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he taught to his Sahaba, and they became great human beings. And they created a fikr within themselves, a concern. On their own selves they were worried. That I do this wrong, I am greedy, I've got this fault, I waste time, I do this wrong. After that, the human being starts to improve within, and his defects start to become vivid and visible, and he starts to get afraid of his defects, then he starts to have a desire for Jannah and a dislike and a fear of hell. And then that individual, once when he sees his defects, and then he looks at the positive and good traits of other people, look at the difference here, look at the difference. So if a human being, when he develops this condition within him, that he looks at other people and looks at the goodness in other people, and he doesn't see any defects in other people, he looks at so many good things, even if he's a thief and a bandit that he's looking at, he looks at the goodness in that person, the positive characteristics in that person, qualities. There was a very great wali Allah, and his murid, he was also wali Allah, his student. So there was a sheikh and the student, and in the student's house the burglary took place, a true event this is. And I heard this from Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh. So the student, he wrote to his teacher that a burglary has taken place in this way, in my home. So what did he write in reply? He said, beware, how dare you, don't say bad to the thief. The sheikh said to his student, he wrote that in reply, that don't make this mistake, don't say bad to the thief. If you say bad to the thief, then the reason why Allah made that burglary take place to increase your maqam, then your maqam will stop. Your level, increase in level will stop. Status. So from Allah Ta'ala's direction, whatever comes from Allah, if you observe sabr and you are patient, then Allah Ta'ala will increase your darajat and status. Don't say bad to the thief. Don't mock him. Look at the goodness. He showed the goodness. That the very good thing that the burglar did is that he allowed a means for your darajat to increase. Oh, mashallah, he's a good person. You understand what I'm saying? The point? So when this condition is developed within a person, When these qualities are developed within a person, yes, when this understanding, this is the good understanding, then the human being becomes so great that he is looking at his own defects. Inside me are these defects and other people's defects. He's praising other people that he's such a great person. He's a high level human being. He becomes then such a great human being himself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him high darajat, that from all four corners people start to praise that individual. Praise him. Subhanallah. From all four corners that he looks at the positive others and he demotes himself, and Allah Ta'ala says that the people, the public start to praise them, and these are the darajat of the awliyaullah, the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. That from one point of Islam where a human being reaches to the high level, did he do any ibadah, worship? Did he pray tahajjud to achieve this level? Did he go on a lengthy hajj trip or umrah trip? Did he do lengthy tasbihs? These worship actions have never made a waliyallah. From recitation and prayer, a waliyallah doesn't arise. A waliyallah is developed through the person who studied this tafsir today that I've mentioned to you. When he reads that tafsir, then he becomes a waliyallah. Within him, the qualities are developed and polished. Akhlaqi husna starts to come out. So my brothers, my colleagues, in this day and age, if we want to be saved, then all we need to do is that just develop a concern, a fikr, do your islah, that Allah improve me. And this point that I've told you, the Quran has prescribed this to us, that do this action, that go in the night rather than fault finding other people and the whole families together and gupshup and gossip mongering, or he came. There's no other topic. What else are you going to do when you sat there? Apart from defects in people at that time, what else are we going to talk about? No other words are there to, or sentences to discuss with the family. So then these words and these sentences and this gossip starts. So in place of that, Allah says do another action, that start to look at your own defects. Just 5-10 minutes, sit down, analyze, do muraqabah. And that this is all I've greed and all I want is money and world, whatever's inside you, bring it out. Bring it out. And then do dua, Allah, you are the only one who can save me. Allah, save me from this calamity. Then go to sleep. That's it. 40 days do this chilla, this action, and your batin will start to improve. All the defects will open up, unravel and come in front of you, alhamdulillah. And as you continue to do this, then from the world, the people will start to praise you. People praise you, so much praise that you'll start to get scared. Why are people praising me and thinking good of me? What have I done? You won't like people praising you. You want to hide from that. You now at the moment you like praise. I come, I want people to stand, I want respect, I want people to give me kawa, give me this and serve me. But when you do this action, I've said, analyze yourself, self-analysis. When you see your own defects, then you won't like people when they praise you. Say, why do people praise me? I'm not worthy. I don't deserve this. Why are they talking about myself? He'll run away from the appreciation and people run after him to praise him, to give him respect. So this is that tariqah, that method, alhamdulillah, through which Allah Ta'ala is pleased, and then Jannah opens up for the servant through islah, rectification. So let's do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala in this very delicate day and age, when us, our children, our families, may Allah bring us towards islah, rectification, which is the true improvement. When you go to the company of a wali Allah, a teacher, a sheikh, that's where you learn these things. These points I'm telling you, these pearls I attained from the court, the company of the wali Allah, from the khanka, the education center of the wali Allah. No other education establishment will you learn these things. One moment in the company of the wali Allah is greater than hundreds of years of pious worship. This is not some minor statement that a wali Allah said, that I've just told you. A great statement. And why did he say this statement? Because he had the experience in life with this. That 1 second in the company of a wali Allah, a sheikh, go with that intention that I want to improve myself. And don't have an atom's weight of dunya. I want to get this dunya love out of my heart. No sign of dunya in you when you go to the teacher, to the sheikh, because you want to eradicate that. And purely you want to go to the company of the sheikh for the love of Allah. Just like I said to you this hadith in Tirmidhi. That if you want the love of Allah, then first of all, what does Allah do? Allah saves his servant from the dunya in such a way, like the person who's sick, who should not be touching water at that time. Then this dunya Allah sent us to this world, it's not a good place. It's a testing ground is this dunya. It's a testing ground. We have to save ourselves from this dunya. We've made this dunya ourselves, our own place, our permanent abode. we don't even realize we're just here for a few days. This dunya that Allah made and sent us to is just for a few days. Allah says, the worst of places I've sent you to. Allah says, for this reason, as if you pass this test here, exam here, then you've got a greater destination. This is the game that Allah Ta'ala has made. It's a game. Allah has made a fantastic game. A brilliant game Allah Ta'ala has made. It is a dirty place, the dunya. And then the insan was taken out of paradise, thrown into the world. Allah says, save yourself from the traps of the world. When you save yourself, I'll give you paradise as the rule. You go back to paradise. SubhanAllah. And whoever drowns, embeds himself, then he's lost the game. He's lost the game. And Allah says, the information to win the game, I keep on giving you the information, the clues and the positives. I'll give you the methods how to win the game, Allah says. So what's our job, our duty? To be saved from this khabis, evil dunya. Don't let it come into your heart. What's the point of this world? Oh, ask for money and wealth and always being concerned, what's going to happen now? How will I earn now? No. The things you've got, alhamdulillah, you've earned, alhamdulillah. Look how much guarantee Allah gives about dunya. Allah says, whatever's written in your taqdeer, your destiny, that will 100% arrive to your destiny into your lap. 100%. What else do you want? Allah's guaranteed that. Allah says, whatever has been written in your destiny, you can go to the North Pole, South Pole, you will definitely receive what's in your destiny. But nafs and shaitan said, no, no, madman, you won't get what you need. Leave everything, leave your salah, oh, run to the dunya, you'll die, oh, you won't be able to pay this, you won't be able to earn this, you won't be able to achieve this. Allah says, no. Our Hazrat Rahimullah said that my father was a great sheikh and he used to herd the sheep and the goats. That same action that was the sunnah of the walis of Allah. He used to herd the goats. He said, when he used to herd the goats during the day, when it was time for salah, then he'd call out to the sheep and the goats. All of them, I'm about to pray salah, please all gather together. And all the goats and the sheep used to gather under the tree. This is, then imagine the salah of the wali Allah at that time. Eh? The sheep, the goats wouldn't move from there. He said, these animals, they're not animals, they're animals realize and recognize who Allah is. They have wisdom and brain as well. We are animals, that we are lower than the animals themselves. And they laugh on us, the animals, that you animals, you are the animals, you mad people, mad human beings. We are brainy people, the animals say, today. They laugh at us in the dunya. My Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh used to say this. The animal realizes the reality of Allah. The animal. They realize, they know. Why doesn't the animal know? Make yourself high enough that your destiny becomes good and you do actions to please Allah. You should elevate yourself that Allah asks you himself, what do you want, my servant? Do you want meat and potatoes today? Well, come, just sit down. Your desires, who should you ask from for your desires? Ask from Allah for your desires. Why do you run around in the dunya spreading your hands? Every human being's destiny, what's to come in his life has been written, 100%. Meat, where you're going to live, where you're going to die has been written. The amount of money you're going to get in your life, that's been written. Yes, I was also a shopkeeper, businessman. I used to do business, you do business. The amount, the rizq Allah gives in business, you can't get from anywhere else. And we decorate the shop, we used to have stock, and I used to see the game. I used to see the game, I said, let's see the game today. So I used to experience things like this at my shop. I got a sweater, a jumper, like an old one, like I'm wearing. I don't know how many years I've been wearing that. And I put it onto the hanger, the jumper, old jumper. And I put it to the back of the rack, back of the rack. And I put all the other stock items at the front to sell. So I said, you know, like the shopkeeper, he wants to increase the price. So I sat down then. I said, let's see today Allah Ta'ala's glory status, what happens. So a customer came to my shop. It's a true event, I'm telling you, that I saw with my own eyes, from my own experience. Because whatever's coming in your destiny definitely will come to your life. Whatever's in your destiny. So the customer came, it was a woman. She came in the shop. She's looking at all the jumpers, the cardigans, clothing items. She's looking. And I saw, let's see where her hand goes. She's looking, looking, looking. My sweater that was hung at the back, the old one, wasn't even washed. And she looked at it and she took it out. And she said, can I have this? I said, this is not a good jumper, it's second hand. She said, no, I want this jumper. I said, is it? She's joking with me, I thought. I said, this is just not a good jumper. It's second hand. I said, I can't give you a refund if you want it. She said, no, I want it, the jumper. I said, there are better jumpers than this. Why do you look at them? She said, no, I want this jumper. It was my jumper. I said, no, I'm not selling this. And then she started arguing with me. So imagine now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by force sends the rizq to a person. I said, look, I'm not selling this to you. And she said, I want it. I said, it's mine, I wear it. She said, why did you hang it on the shop? And then she, don't you know the law, whatever you've displayed in your shop, you have to sell those items and those garments. I said, where's that law come from? And she said that you've displayed this garment, then by law you need to sell that item if you're displaying it in the... She said, you hanged it here amongst the other garments, that means that you're going to sell it. Now you need to sell this, that otherwise I'll call the law. She said to me, I said, I looked towards Allah in the heavens, I said, subhanAllah, you've shown me today, subhanAllah, that what is in the destiny goes to that person. So the rizq definitely comes to the person. Then I didn't convince her, I didn't say anything to her, and I could say, take this, take that person says, isn't it? Or take this item, that item. She wanted the item that she liked. She had no reason. I said, then remember this, it's second hand. She said, no problem. I said, I won't take it back. She said, fine. I said, I packed it, and she took it, and I took the full value for the item. Full value in price. Tell me. So after that, I gave sadaqah of that money. I gave in charity. Because obviously it was an old jumper, she took it. So Allah Ta'ala just showed me the sign about the value of something in the destiny. So my brothers, why don't we have yaqeen on these points? We don't believe because we read other tafsirs in our lives. We don't read and study the tafsir that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Akhlaq, conduct manners, study the seerah Rasul. We're going into other calls, hazir, nazirs, this and that, these aqeedah, belief, shaitan has put us on that path. We don't look at the point, the lesson that Rasulullah was sent for what purpose? Why did he get sent to us? What introduction was there? How do we study this tafsir? We don't understand the maqam of the Prophet ﷺ. His level, his status. Tell me that Allah Ta'ala says, how will you realize who is the Prophet ﷺ? Who is he? He's a messenger, Nabi I've sent to you. And only you can understand knowledge by him from the introduction in the Quran. So Allah says, that strengthen your relationship with him. You've left that relationship and you've run after other points of learning. So nakal we don't want to do. We don't want to imitate the Prophet Muhammad. We don't want to follow his lifestyle. We don't want to follow his sunnahs. But we want to argue over technical points of deen and knowledge. And we think there's bakshish on this. There'll be punishment for this. There's such a great Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah says, how did you dare to quarrel over his lifestyle and points about his knowledge? And Allah demonstrated this. That those who give da'wah, that Allah says, then do miraj, show miraj. And what is the reality of Musa alaihi wasallam? Isa alaihi wasallam went. Yunus alaihi wasallam went. No. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala demonstrated and showed the glory of his Habib, that his status is so great that even the angel said that, oh sorry, we can't go further with you on the journey. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallam, Allah demonstrated to us, we don't know where he went, what did he see, what happened on the Miraj, and how much a proof he gave. If we say tomorrow, oh it just happened by chance, it was just a journey, such a great proof that the ibadah, that all life long the Muslims pray, salah, and we pray it, we learn it, attayyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa taybatu. We even remember the event that gave us that gift of salah. So how much rooj is there of the Prophet Muhammad? That should we argue over his life? So the real education, laqad kana lakum fi rasulullahi uswatun hasanah, says follow him. Study this, follow him, his direction. This tafsir, if you study it, then it's stated that he went to the heavens. Allah says, on the earth whilst you're living, I will enable you to do miraj. Same way. That become the lover of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you will learn. So much we have spread out the deen and destroyed the deen in our quarrels and our fights and our opinions that we've forgotten the true deen. Even the disbelievers say, even those who don't have iman say, even those who have no belief say, that I became a Muslim and this person from a sect said, what type of Muslim are you? Not a Muslim yet. You haven't come into this sect yet. And I won't name the sect. He said, what do I do now? Have I become a Muslim or not? SubhanAllah. He's lost in that confusion. Imagine this. He became a Muslim and one sect person said, you're not a Muslim because you're still in that sect. Come in this sect, then you're a proper Muslim. Confusion. Then he got afraid. What type of Muslim am I? What kalima shall I recite? Which sect shall I join? This is the problem today because we are deviated. Shaitan, he's taken the tafsir away from us. We're studying the wrong tafsir. Yes, we are in the wrong tafsir, in arguments and quarrels, doubts. So the tariq Allah has given us is, all you need to do to rectify yourself. Alaykum anfusikum. One, worry about yourself. Don't take faults out of other people. Look at your own faults, your own defects. This is Quran, isn't it? Or is it Quran not saying this? Quran is saying, why are you worried about and concerned about other people? You, the hidayah, the guidance you've been given, that would be the biggest achievement. If you bring guidance into yourself. Yes, Allah says that if Hidayah guidance comes into you, that's the most important thing you need to ponder about, worry about. What a great method. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, believe in him. The way Allah Ta'ala has told us to believe in him, the way the Quran is prescribed, follow him physically. Imitate him. Respect, honor, all of this is there. But after Allah, the greatest is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. That's it. As much as you can. That as long as you're not doing shirk, to that point we need to respect the Prophet ﷺ. Until the limit of shirk, that's it. There's no limit beyond that. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ Allah says in the Quran. That your dhikr, Allah says, I will elevate, I will continue to elevate your dhikr. Every second, every moment, Allah says that the Prophet ﷺ's dhikr and his status is increasing. No limit. Where's his darjah? Every second, Allah Ta'ala multiplies. Now this is a fantastic topic. If I talk on this, we'll go on to that for a long time. Every second, every moment, Allah Ta'ala elevates the status of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ Allah says. There's no limit. Allah says, I will keep on elevating your status of Muhammad SAW. There's no limit. There's no stopping to it. So we can't understand that point. To this extent, that maqam will come. That is maqam-e mahmood. What will happen that time? What will be the scene, alhamdulillah? There will be the arsh, right side kursi, the throne. And in the hand will be the flag of hamd. And he will be wearing the green libas. All of the dunya, all of mankind, all the prophets will be stood in front. And what time will that be? What will occur at that time? The Prophet ﷺ will intercede for his ummah and forgive the people. So now what's the argument now? Hazir, nazir, believe. Look at the maqam, the status of the Prophet ﷺ that Allah has given to him. And we are his ummati, we are his nation. We are his followers. Love for him. If you want to have the love of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, you want to earn that love. And you want the reply from him as well. Yeah, not some knuckly fake love. You want his reply as well. And when the reply comes, you'll feel that the reply is coming. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or am I just speaking blank? If you don't like what I'm saying, it's your choice, but I have to speak. I have to speak. So love, the response for the love comes. How can it be that you love someone in the world and you give somebody a gift with love? Will the reply not come from your beloved? Immediately, oh, very nice man. He gave me some flowers and let me give some better flowers to that person. So if we have this relationship in the world, then what is the relationship with he, the Prophet of Medina? Will he not reply to us? Subhanallah, the particles in the body feel the response from the Prophet that the person loves Rasulullah. Yes, he doesn't remain blank and empty. He is satisfied. He has no concern that the Prophet of Allah loves me. That's it. The response is coming to him. The answer. Then he just recites the he compiles the nasheeds and recites them. Then ongoing. Am I right or am I wrong in what I'm saying? Tell me. So today's discussion summary. What was the path? The summary, the essence of today's discussion, that in this dangerous era we're living in, what do we need to do? Islah of ourselves. Rectification. This was today's topic, isn't it? Do our own islah. A very simple method to improve ourselves. Self-improvement. Self-improvement. Very simple formula that Allah Ta'ala has explained to us. What is that? That every day in the evening, instead of fault-finding in other people's lives with a cup of tea, what should we do? Just go hide in your bedroom before you go to sleep. Sit in your bedroom. Even if you're drinking, sip tea at the same time. Sip tea, no problem. Close your eyes and do maraqbah. What are the defects inside me? What a big animal I am. And what silly actions. I look at girls, I look at women. Don't I feel ashamed? Then have a mirror in front of you. You've got a beard, isn't it? Then look at your beard. Look at your face and the actions you do. And I deceive people. Yeah? Very honestly I'm speaking here. Honestly. Do this. That you should be ashamed. So look at your mouth, look at your face. You do this, and those who don't have beards, then they should slap themselves on the face when they look themselves in the mirror. Those who don't have a beard, oh, you are shaitan. You're shaitan. You say you love so much, you can't even do this action. You can't even imitate the Prophet by keeping the beard. And you have made the face of those who are against him. Khair, then slap himself 2-3 times, and he should call other people and say, slap me 2-3 times if he doesn't have, if he has that practice. He's blind, that person. He doesn't even see what his face is like. That face, he has made that thing disappear from his face that was most beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. No prophet came in the world who did not have a beard on his face. No sahabi was there on planet earth who didn't have a blessed beard on his face. No wali Allah passed in the history of Islam who didn't have a blessed beard on his face. And today in this day and age you see monkeys and shaitan who started this action. And they give big dawah, wali Allah, I'm a sheikh, I'm a scholar. And they call themselves walis of Allah, and they consider the walis of Allah. Maybe my words, they're a little bit sweet, aren't they? So listen to the sweet words. I don't put sugar, yeah, but I just put a little bit of reality so that you don't get diabetes. Yeah, because sugar gives it, so I just you screen it. There, mashallah, it's very sweet discussion, but without the sugar. So that face of that person, he should decide when he looks at his face, that what direction am I going in? Forget everything else. Just look at your face in the mirror. A nation came, a group of people of Majus, they were Majus fire worshippers, they came to the Prophet ﷺ from Iran, they came. And they used to do this action that we do today, short beards, shaved beards, clean shaven. When they came to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ said, get them out, turn their face. He turned their face on them. He said, if they come, then azab, the punishment will come to Medina. That's how bad and disfigured their faces was. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, and today we go, salatu wasalam, we say in front of the Rawda Mubarak, in this manner, because the time of Hisab hasn't come yet. Allah's Nabi was Rahmatul Alameen, even today gives a chance that this stupid man maybe gets some brains and understand what is this action he's doing here in front of my grave. With what face he's come in front of my grave to give salam. One wali Allah, his true event I'll share with you now. That a wali Allah, a friend became like this, that you went to the Rawda Mubarak with a shaven beard. The Rawda Mubarak, I was shown this, I was told, I was picked up, the angels came and shoved me and kicked me out of the correct your face and then come. For that day I learned what is the importance of the beard. And then I changed myself after that. Who could dare that person after that event doesn't change himself? And brought me to this maqam. So brothers, understand this point. Don't make your hearts like stones and rocks. For the sake of Allah, accept the Quran. Make your heart to accept the Quran. Accept the reality of the Quran. Without parda, without hijab, nakedness, wretchedness. Women folk, the practice today. What's their hal? They've got hearts of rocks and stones. The words don't enter inside us. We don't understand. On this maqam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that why do you worry? They take your own divas, that these are animals, summum bukmun umyun, that these words won't penetrate them, they have earned the hellfire from me. Shaitan says, why do you worry about them? Allah says to his Nabi, don't worry about these people. They've earned Jahannam. In reality, Allah Ta'ala gave the tasalli to all the true people, the sincere people who want to improve the people in the world, not those who are playing games in the world. The true revivers and those who reform people, those who have pain in the hearts for the human being, what tafsir do they study? The tafsir that Allah Ta'ala himself is the author, that he wrote. That don't worry about these people. So let's make our hearts soft and tender. The message of the Quran, bring it into your heart. Understand, I'm in azab, punishment, this is haram. I should leave these actions, otherwise fitna. All of this wretchedness in my life is coming due to my actions. And until this doesn't occur, this will not occur. As long as the love of the world is embedded in our hearts, which is the biggest punishment of Allah. The biggest punishment of Allah is the love of the dunya is embedded in the heart. And the best reward of love is that Allah Ta'ala says that the love of the dunya extract it from your heart. When the love of the world comes out of your heart, guaranteed Allah's love will replace it. Guaranteed. Although you don't need no wazifa, no prayer, no recitation to achieve this. And the company of a wali Allah, when you are in his company, suddenly this condition will arise, if your intention is correct, if your intention is pure. Then there's the same point again, a moment in the company of the wali Allah, 1 second if you spend in the company of a wali Allah, sit in his company, you yourself will become a wali Allah. Guaranteed, if your intention is correct, that definitely I want to leave the dunya, I want to have la in my life. No. Look, the first word of the kalama Allah Ta'ala defined after you recite that you become a Muslim. What's the first word of the kalama? La. That I reject everything. Allah. That I reject everything that ceases and stops me from meeting you and getting to you. The first word of the kalama that a person recites to become a believer. Where does it start from? From nafi. From rejection. La, Allah says, La, you say first. Then illallah, you will understand after you reject everything. That Allah is the one, He is forever. That all desires you reject and shun, discard. La. Just like the Kaaba, all the idols were broken, then the sujood started, the prostration started. Otherwise, they would have carried on prostrating to the idols. Allah purified the Kaaba from the idols, then La, then illallah came after it. First is La, reject. Shun. So your heart you need to purify in the same way. First, clean your heart by saying la first. No. The biggest la is the khabis, the wretched dunya, this impure world that destroys a human being. And that is the place of our exam. Allah's testing us in this planet on earth. And this test, Allah sent us this exam center. I'm sending you to the dirty exam center. Whoever saves himself from the dunya will arrive to me as a successful human being. Whoever saves himself from the dunya. And this is the exam. Whoever has said la, subhanallah, 10 years, 5 years, whoever learns to say la, then subhanallah, illallah will come to that person. Illallah will come to that person. When illallah comes to that person, and comes inside that person, and oneness of Allah subhanallah comes to that person, then what happens? Subhanallah. Then the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the love of the Prophet ﷺ, you will see the signs and the embers will start to burn inside that person. And the love of Rasulullah, Muhammad Rasulullah comes after. So Allah comes first, he accepts the oneness of Allah, illallah comes, then Allah says, now you deserved, now come to the love of the Prophet ﷺ, which will come inside you. Muhammad Rasulullah. Comes second in the kalima. This is the kalima we recite, isn't it? This is the tarteeb of the kalima, is it not? Tell me. Yes, the idols embedded inside us, disease inside us, and we're running after illallah. Running after illallah. With the idols inside us. How can you get illallah if the idols inside? So mashallah, today's lesson, sabak, shall I just quickly repeat it? What is it? We are in the worst time. What do we need desperately? Islah, rectification, improvement, self-improvement. What's the method of self-improvement that I said? Every day in the night, instead of fault-finding in others, look at your own defects. That's it. That's it. Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, will bring you to the right path. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the ruchna.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين طه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة فقنا عذاب القبر فقنا عذاب الحشر فقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وأشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اجتهاجاتنا يا دافج البليات اطفى بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرضنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرضنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في سمعي اللهم اعفنا في بصري لا اله الا انت ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحم اباهما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الحياء منهم واللموات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين ہمارے حلقے کے بہت ہی پرانے ساتھی مانچسٹر سے ہیں, ان کا ہارٹ کا آپریشن ہوا ہے, ابھی تک وہ انٹینسو کیئر میں ہیں, ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے, اللہ پاک ان کو صحت عام محسوس فرمائے. ہمارے حلقے کی ایک بہت ہی پرانے خاتون پاکیزہ زاکرہ شاکرہ, بہت ہی درویش عورت, سخت بیمار ہے, ہاسپٹل میں ہے, ان کی اولاد نے آپ سے دعا کے لیے عرض کیا ہے, اللہ تعالیٰ تمام بیماروں کو شفائے کاملہ آج نصیب فرمائے, جو ہاسپٹل میں اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے علاج نصیب فرمائے, یا اللہ ان کو تمام بیماریوں پہ اجر بھی نصیب فرمائے, یا اللہ پوری امت کو میرے مولا تو اپنا رحم فرما کرم فرما یا کریم, تمام کی مغفرت فرمائے میرے مولا. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.